Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, the podcast that you know.
Well, if you're listening to this, you are a certified basketball sicko. If you stayed up to watch the entire Kings game, you might be a sicko like Morgan Reagan, who is on the East Coast right now in Orlando, Florida for the NBA G League Winter Showcase doing broadcast work. And she said, "Dudes, I'll stay up and do the podcasts with you. Why not? I mean, you should be, it's Kings Lakers. It'll be all fun." There was not a lot of fun tonight. And Morgan stayed up late. We are taping this when it's over what? It's about 1:38 a.m. Eastern time, excuse me, where Morgan is at. And she is just eager to dive into this gross, disgusting Kings home loss to Lakers, 113-100. Hi, Morgan.
I am so dumb too, because I have to get up at 7 to start prepping. And I was just, there was something in my mind that was like, I'm going to have FOMO if I miss out on this Kings Lakers game. I'm already not there to experience a home Kings Lakers game. Like, those are always just such a, it's a fun environment, even when there's too many yellow jerseys. Like, it's still just like intense. It's competitive. I love it. And I'm just like here, laying in bed, watching the game. And I can't even tell you how I was feeling, because I don't even know how I was feeling at times. Like, it was just a very, that was not fun. That was gross basketball at times. The turnovers, the thing that you mentioned on the postgame show, attacking Anthony Davis like he all of a sudden wasn't 7 feet tall. You know, I just, like, because even when you said that, I was thinking, I'm all for guys going at his chest and going at him. But you had even mentioned, like, DeMar DeRozan, like, when he was trying to go at him and, like, have this fadeaway, you're just having this longer body contest and take away your vision of a shot that you're used to on a different size guy. It just, again, there's so many things that just didn't make sense to me in this game.
A lot of things did not make sense. And all of a sudden the Kings are now 13-15. They're 6-9 on the home floor, and they play the Lakers again Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. start time in Sacramento. We thought the Kings were getting some good news. Sabonis was questionable before this game. So was Kevin Huerter. Keegan Murray. Well, all three returned to the lineup. Trey Lyles was close, ended up being a scratch from tonight's game. They're like, okay, you get Huerter and Murray back. That should be a good thing for Sacramento. How's it going to look to start this game? Well, another slow start. And that's kind of been the theme for the Kings. Like, they just have a stretch where it's just awful. Tonight, 17-4, they're outscored to start the first quarter. At the end of the first half, outscored 13-4. Down the stretch, mind-numbing things happening to the Sacramento Kings, and we're left going, what the hell is this? I maintain that this team should be better than 13-15. This team is flawed, and we could talk all day about the things that we have mentioned so many times. Well, hey, they don't have enough size, wing help, blah blah blah. That doesn't matter tonight. Tonight was just completely out of whack, and it started offensively to me. And it, going back to what you were just saying about attacking Anthony Davis, There's nothing wrong with attacking Anthony Davis when you're like, you're pushing the pace and he's on his heels, right? Or there's movement and you're going downhill, putting him in a tough spot. But this was like, hey, DeMar has a switch, AD's on him. Dribble, dribble, dribble. Oh, I'll launch a mid-range shot over Anthony Davis or going at him one-on-one. He's blocking your shot. There were so many times that happened tonight with the Kings offense where the decision-making was awful. It's not about missed shots. They could have shot 30% tonight if they were moving the ball and whatever. I wouldn't have been that mad. It's about tonight, the ball movement was not there. The ball was sticking. Then they're looking for mismatches. Morgan, I don't know if you heard Mike Brown after the game, but there were many times where Sabonis would have a smaller player on him. And Mike Brown's telling his team and has told his team, hey, when there's that mismatch, don't throw a bounce pass to him because the guard could poke it away. It takes longer to get there. You know, Sabonis is tall. Throw it to his hand and let him go to work. And you hear that and I go, I'm sorry. Is Mike Brown coaching 12-year-olds? Why is that being talked about right now? We're talking about being able to throw to your big man who's got a mismatch? And those were the things. They were late on passes. They weren't passing enough. Taking bad shots. It was a bad, awful performance. And you can't have these type of games.
Well, they're having these type of games. And tonight it was... What was so surprising to Deuce, how the frick did they... I'm like, that's me just like...
It's loose. Funny. It's funny you say that, how the frick, because... As I was walking out of the arena tonight, security guy was like, hey, I was watching your podcast last game. I'm doing an impression of him. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Thanks, man. He's like, yeah, Morgan's had like 2 F-bombs. I loved it. She doesn't usually do that on TV. And then you say frick this time around, which is funny. Anyway.
It's so and I would never do that on TV, just on our podcast. So how the fuck did they stay in this game? That's what I didn't even understand sometimes when I was looking at the score. And I was like, wait, how is it still like a 2-point game?
I mean,
how is it tied at this point? No, Deuce, again, this isn't a positive thing. I'm not saying something positive right now.
The Lakers missed some good shots tonight. I mean, it happened.
Surprising is my point. It was just very surprising because every single category, you look where the Lakers beat the Sacramento Kings, and it just didn't make any sense how the Kings were even anywhere near in this game. And my point to that being, that's how many times they shot themselves in the foot. Dude. And how blatantly they were shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, even on some of Fox's turnovers, man, that was so rough to watch when it was just like
unforced,
behind the back, going out of bounds, or just like down here going off his foot. And then when he got that fifth foul, and when he got it, I was just like, you know, you have 4. Like, there was just little things, I think, with every single player out there with the Sacramento Kings where I just felt like there wasn't a certain focus, and that I can analyze that and say that, and some people are going to be like, well, that can't be the case. I know. I'm not justifying anything. Analyzing what I saw, and I saw unfocused play out there all night long.
On both ends. And that sequence you're talking about, and I know we're bouncing around here, but it's so like, where do you throw a dart? Let's figure out where we want to go with this game, right? Yes. Lakers shot 40% in this game. They hit one more three than Sacramento after a hot start from three. They were 12 of 33. They end up hitting 10 more free throws than the Sacramento Kings. They out-rebounded them by 9. They got them 18-6 on second chance points in this game. The Lakers had 13 offensive rebounds in this game. The Kings had 4. Max Christie, Gabe Vincent, had 5 offensive rebounds combined. Sacramento had 4. They got crushed on the glass. The turnovers. The Kings only had 3 more turnovers, but somehow the Lakers scored 22 points off Kings turnovers, and the Kings scored only 9 points off the 13 turnovers because of something you just mentioned. I'm looking back at this. You talk about bad decisions. This stretch early in the third quarter, they're not making the extra pass. Malik made a shot that I'm like, you know what? That wasn't a good shot. You guys, you made it. It wasn't a good shot. Then the next possession down, Sabonis one-on-one decides to try to like go right at Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis swallowed him whole. And I'm like, this is not Kings basketball. Like, you've been playing some good offense, especially with Malik Monk in the starting lineup, scoring 125 a game, all that stuff. The ball movement was not there. Now, after that play, Monk had a turnover, okay? Mm-hmm. I think this was off a Lakers miss or a turnover. Monk has a turnover. Fox sprints back here, already has four fouls, decides he is, at the 6:47 mark of this third quarter, going to try to go for a poke away on this, and he picks up his fifth foul.
Trying to swipe down on it, I think.
Yeah. What are you doing? You can't do that. And so, like, there was just mind-numbing things today that I'm going, this doesn't make sense. Like, you are better than this.
How about this? Since we're throwing darts, how about when in transition, Malik Monk does the behind the back to Keon Ellis, and it, thank God it went off the Lakers, but even Monk was like, and I understood Monk's point, and he was like, you should be running your lane all the way down the left side. Why are you relocating out beyond the arc for a corner three in transition? You know, because that's today's day and age in the NBA. And so I understood Malik Monk's point, but at the same time, I was like, why are we doing a behind the back pass even right now when it's like, it is so apparent that you have to do everything so perfect and fundamentally right now, because the focus or the I don't even know what it would be called. It was like that there was, even if they had tried to do something, it was going to end up being sloppy. Even if Sabonis was going to be trying to be strong and go through Anthony Davis, it wasn't going to be enough. Even though Malik Monk has made 20 billion of those pocket passes to Domas Sabonis, bounce pass, whatever, down low, it wasn't going to work. And they weren't adjusting their game and being like, hey guys, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to a simple pump fake and go this way. Let's go back to fake a pass to make a pass. I just didn't understand why they didn't go back to the fundamentals.
So Malik had five turnovers in this game. Fox had four. Herter had four in 24 minutes. And Herter had two that were just like, what are you doing? Or, you know, the bad passes to Sabonis.
Yeah.
Where Sabonis has a mismatch and Sabonis is like, hey, give me the ball. And of course he notices it late and allows, it's so predictable. Like, these were, I'm struggling with this one tonight because like it just was so unfocused and not how the Kings have been playing as of late. And then we haven't even talked about the defense yet. I know the Lakers scored, they scored 113 points, but Sacramento had some bad fouls. They allowed so many good looks from three. Luckily, the Lakers aren't a great three-point shooting team, but they hit big ones. Like, Gabe Vincent comes in tonight and had a major impact on this game, knocking down four threes, and they were open. They overhelp, or they're, you know, someone is getting dribble penetration, LeBron's getting downhill, and everyone collapses, and LeBron is a gifted passer. He's going to make the play, and then you're in just a bad situation.
We were texting toward the beginning of this game when a lot of those open threes were being generated by the Lakers. And what was it? I think I even asked you. I asked him, like, what is it? Like, is it just the pass is that much better? Or is the Kings defense just not, is just totally not there tonight? And I just don't understand how you can, on your home floor, with the amount of rest that has been going on, how you could be so not locked in defensively on both ends of the floor, but even defensively, to allow some of those open looks for Gabe Vincent, for everyone else. Like, this is one of those ones, Deuce, I almost stopped the game because I was almost just going to go back and watch the first half, even while the second half was going on, because I was just confused even how they were at that point.
I thought the Lakers did a couple of good things, though. I hate giving them any credit. Throwing Max Christie did a good job defensively out there. They started him. They've been starting him recently with D'Lo coming off the bench, and they put Max Christie on Fox, and they even had Cam Reddish on Fox. They threw some length, and Max Christie did a pretty good job at making life more challenging. Now, Fox missed some shots he sometimes makes, and he's got the ability to make, but I thought those two guys did a pretty good job on the Kings guards, and their length, Lakers' length in general, bugged the Kings, but I don't think all these turnovers were caused because of the Lakers' length. I also thought Max Christie impacted the game because he's crashing the offensive glass, and that's the other part of this game where, look, if you're getting outworked on the offensive glass, you're just not locked in. Like, when I see Gabe Vincent crashing from the corner and just getting his hand on the ball, just tipping it out, he wants it. He wants it more, and you're not aware. You know, when Max Christie, he's not like the biggest dude on the planet, is getting through for offensive rebound opportunities. This is what we talked about the other game where the Kings found a way to win New Orleans. Well, hey, they won the possession game. They didn't shoot it well. It's because they were doing the other things. The Lakers completely outworked the Kings tonight on their home floor in a big game.
It felt like they outworked them without even trying that hard to outwork them. Like, there wasn't enough force there, even from the Kings, where it was like, oh, who's going to do more work? It was like, no, the Lakers just came to work, where it felt like you're saying this Kings team tonight out there on the floor, that effort wasn't there. And I'm not acting, I can't sit here and act like they didn't want to be out there, that kind of lack of effort. It was the lack of effort to get focused, the lack of effort to be like, okay, how are we going to box out this play? Who are we going to put a body on? Oh, he's been deflating us and grabbing this many offensive boards. Okay, we're going to do things differently. Just no adjustments, with the lack of like awareness to so many things and mistakes that were being made.
You're 13-15, 6-9 at home. This was, in my opinion, the worst loss of the season, with how that Denver game ended too, right? Think about how that game ended, the frustration from Mike Brown after.
Yeah.
You get down big, you rally back, you're up 10 with 3:55 to play. Denver goes on a 21-10 run to finish the game. It's a perfect 7-of-7. And then the next day at practice, Mike Brown is kind of challenging De'Aaron Fox, like, hey, he has to set the tone. If he's going to be a star in this league, he has to bring it every night. And so tonight I'm going in, well, thinking this is going to be a competitive game. Like, the Kings are going to bring it. And I just didn't feel like they did. And, you know, when you're having those type of mental miscues offensively, when things are not flowing like they normally do, if you're going one pass and out, that's just not how you play. So that to me is not being mentally focused. That's an effort that you have to be locked in.
That's what, dude, we literally, do you understand, every single part of our analysis hasn't been about like, hey, when he's dribbling the basketball, he's got to dribble lower to the floor, or he's got to, like, you know, really dribble with authority. Like, we're not going over mechanics right now.
Yeah.
We're going over the whatever, if you want to call it mental fatigue, the lack of awareness of the fundamentals that needed to happen on the floor tonight. And that, and I know how you get with these podcasts, and you love to go over examples of where the breakdowns were, of who didn't rotate over, of what went down. What?
Just you're triggering all these memories from the game. I just, like, right when you said that, I flashback.
I'm like, what? I was like, did the internet go out? What happened?
Go ahead and make your point. I'm sorry.
My whole point to this being is, like, I don't think we've had a game this year where this is ultimately what lost it. But at the same time, were there any specifics that really stood out to you? Like, do you have specific notes or anything?
I mean, I took plenty of notes. I mean, just the thing you were just talking about, the mental miscues in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Okay, it's 97-92. AD misses a jumper. He looks like he's on the ground. I thought, oh no, he ruptured his Achilles with the way he was reacting on the floor. I'm like, oh no, this is not good. Okay. The so King. I was thinking the Wars. I was telling the emergency crew, get down there. He needs help. Anyway, I don't know if the Kings don't notice it, but they're on the break. They come down and they settle for a three. And I'm going, Anthony Davis, the man who has six blocks tonight, is on the other end of the floor. And then you settle for a three. You miss it. And then you can't get the ball. Jump ball. They throw a jump ball up. Lakers get it. And you're like, this is awareness. It's just like last game against Denver, right? The Nuggets have two guys down under the basket. They don't have the numbers advantage. Yet Aaron Gordon somehow is wide open to take a three. Crazy shot he took. He made it. But you're like, wait, no one's guarding Aaron Gordon? We have a huge numbers advantage. Same thing tonight, just in reverse offensively. It's like, those decisions are costly. The game was pretty much over at this next point, but there's like 4 minutes to go. I guess it's not over technically, but you know, you're kind of still in. It's like a 9-point game, 10-point game, whatever. And LeBron's got the ball. The Kings do their half-ass, oh, I'm going to help off a shooter, but I'm not really going to double LeBron. And what does LeBron do? Oh, wow, Austin Reeves has space beyond the arc. I'm passing him the ball, and he's hitting a three. Like, this is a veteran team. You know what I mean? This is like, hey, man, dude, these young guys will learn 19, 20 years old. When you're not, that's not being locked in. That's an offensive example and a defensive example.
This is why I literally just asked you to bring up an example, because as soon as you brought up the one with Anthony Davis,
yep,
hurt on the ground, I remember so excited, like, okay, let this be the momentum shift. 4-on-5, let's go. Get it into Sabonis, like, get into the paint. Was it, I think it was a Monk three, that's what it was, and it was the miss.
But
my point is, it was just the decision making, the discipline to make a better play, to get a better shot. It wasn't there. And some nights it's not going to be there, but I can't say that on their home floor after every single scary loss like this.
Yeah. And the reason this is so frustrating, right, is because you're below 500. If you had one of these, and you're like, hey, man, look, it happens. But hey, man, you're still, you know, 16-10. You'll figure it out. You know, you got to learn from this. It's just continuously like shooting yourself in the foot. And it's like, okay, at some point, we're 28 games into the season. This is not nothing. And like, there have been signs that they've been playing better. I'm like, oh, are they close to turning the corner? All right, the Denver game. Damn, like, you should have had it. Okay. And so to respond in this fashion was just disappointing based on Mike Brown making the comments he made, right? And how the game ended. Even DeMar's like, I'm eager. I've been stewing on this last couple of days. I'm eager to get back out there. And we got to be locked in. And they get down 17-4.
Deuce. And then on top of all that, the De'Aaron on Draymond Green's podcast before tonight, I mean, like tonight.
Yeah.
Like that just all hurts so bad.
Yeah. And I don't think he said anything new in that Draymond thing, but the reality is
he didn't, but my point is that the timing of it with like a bad loss is just like, no, it just stings a little bit more. It's not just a loss. It's not like a loss against the Denver Nuggets the other night where it's like heartbreaking, but you can come out of it being like, man, that was entertaining. There's some good, there's some bad. This was just like that. And on the home floor.
I'm seeing a lot of comments in the chat about Keegan Murray's game tonight, and I want to get your perspective, kind of your thought on that, and then one final thought from you, because then you have to go night-night, because it's 2 a.m. You're past your deadline right now.
Tell me the comments.
A lot of people, Keegan's soft, Keegan, I'm done with Keegan, blah, blah, blah. Keegan Murray, I thought defensively tonight, did some great things. I thought he made life challenging on LeBron James. I loved what he brought defensively. But the stuff we're talking about with Keegan Murray now are the same things that we've been talking about Keegan Murray, and it's his inability to show consistency in attacking the basket with force. With force. Even tonight, there was one where he settled for a floater, and I'm like, you know, go dunk the ball. You can do it. And he has not been able to consistently show that he could play with physicality on the offensive side of the ball. You know, it was one encouraging play was when he took it on LeBron and kind of trucked him at one point. That was cool, and it went out of bounds. But you know what I mean? Like, there are too many times like, oh, you're on the brick. Oh, attack. Go with force consistently. And he does it sometimes, and we get so excited about it, but it has to be there. I love what he did defensively. I just thought offensively tonight he needed to attack the basket, especially on the break, with like a mentality of, I'm going to try to dunk this. And if I don't, if I miss it, I'm getting fouled and going to the damn free throw line and hitting two free throws. Yeah. There's too much of this like, oh, it's someone could block this, and then you throw up a brick. Overthinking it.
I think his body control sometimes when he does have some of these floaters in the paint, when just his ability to control his body, go to the rim, all the being his size, I love it. But I'm with you when you see him bully through LeBron James, when you see him truck through other people throughout the league, you know that he's capable of it. And I'm not acting like it needs to happen every single possession that he goes into the paint, but it needs to happen a lot more consistently. And I think that's where everyone gets frustrated, because then some of his other takes seem a little soft. And it's like, you have the ability to dunk on someone's head. Like, just do it. Yeah. Find that fire, whatever it is you need. So,
note on Keegan, too, before you get to your final thought. He was questionable coming into this game. Remember, he missed the last game with, like, left ankle soreness. He told reporters at shoot-around today that he jammed his foot during the Houston game, which was, like, December 3rd. And it kind of was swelling up on him. And before the Denver game, it was swelling up on him. And they've been treating it to get the swelling down. So maybe there is something to the fact that, like, there's not a comfort level. You know, the foot is bugging him a little bit on those moves. But this is also, like, not necessarily anything new we're talking about, right? Like, with his...
No, you're just...
finishing at the rim.
I think it's fair to bring up something that is obviously valid and is happened today, or, you know, was talked about today. But I think when we are talking about some of these things with him.
Sorry, just a breaking news thing just went off, and that's the alert that Morgan has to give her final thoughts. She has to wrap it up. She has G League games tomorrow, where she's a color analyst for a game and working the sidelines. Morgan, give me your final thought on, I don't know, do you have a big picture thought? Kings Lakers coming up next on Saturday. What's your thought?
Well, one really positive thought, because I usually do NBC sports with you on pre and post. And so being able to watch you, like, you crushed, loved watching you. I think you do such a great job with your points and whatever. I learn a lot from you. And I agree with you a lot.
Thanks.
And then my final thought to this. Hey, you get another game against the Lakers coming up here on Saturday, and you need to find a way to redeem yourself. I'm going to be watching that game because I want to also redeem what I watched tonight. And I love the matchup. Kings, Lakers, I don't give a shit who's even on the rosters. I always just like the matchup. Like, it's, for me, it's fun. And I hope they find fun. They bring the fundamentals. They bring a focus, a type of energy to the floor on Saturday night, and I will feel better. But right now, I'm going to go to bed really unhappy.
Well, sleep beams, as our dear friend Coach Nick used to say. I've not seen him in a long time, by the way.
We need to reach out.
We need to figure out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate it. And one note, CDK says the toxic positivity on this podcast is insane. Anything you want to say about that?
Do they know the definition of toxic
No,
positivity?
no.
Because I mean, we've literally been shitting all over
We
this
have been
team.
on for 34 minutes and been shitting on them nonstop.
Like, is
The
that
worst loss of the season. You guys are being toxic positive right now. All right, go to bed.
okay. Good night, everyone.
All right,
Sleepy. I'm
see.
so positive.
Okay, go away. All right, bye. Bye. There's Morgan Reagan. Lakers win 113 to 100. I'll get to some of your comments here too as they pour in. If you have any solutions, what the hell do the Kings do from here? It's just, this is disappointing to me. This is the most disappointing loss of the season. I'm not one of those dramatic people that fires off hot takes, but for a team that has shown to play better basketball recently, for how that game against Denver ended, to see them play like this tonight, it's just not the mark of a team that's serious. We keep talking. I mean, I don't know how many years in a row we've been talking about since this team's been competitive under Mike Brown. Yeah, they're just not very good at home. Well, now they're just really bad at home. And even if you weren't like the most excited about the DeMar DeRozan acquisition, if you were one of those people that were on the other side, like, yeah, it doesn't really make you that much better. I don't think you even thought it would be 13 and 15 at this point. And they've lost close games, 3-9 in games decided by 5 or fewer points. And then you see a game like tonight where you're like, this is the response. You know, people are coming to your home games, you know, and they're excited to see you. They want to see the beam. They want to get into the game. And the fans are still into the game, but they're walking away disappointed with bad starts, slow starts, bad finishes, bad ends to quarters. You're just not going to be a playoff team if you're 6-9, 3 games below .500 at home. It's just not going to happen. So what do? Where do you go? This is a pivotal stretch. I said that once they return home. The Kings do not go outside California for a game until January 10th when they're in Boston. They're in Sacramento or they're playing in San Francisco or LA. They're home. They're in California. This has to be the point of the year you start taking off. And look, it's still in reach. The season's not over, but like we're all looking around going, all right, we've seen 28 games here, and they have not strung together consistent play at all. And that's the mark of a bad team, right? A team that's below .500 that has bad stretches, that allows big runs, that is clunky offensively and at times, and then bad defensively. That's where you go, oh, that's not a good team. And so what do? You have to tweak things. It's like, what's your approach going to be to tweak this roster? If your goal is to not only get to the playoffs and win a series, this is not the team. They're not going to be able to do it. So you're going to have to make some moves. You're going to have to make them, and you just hope that you're not digging yourself too big of a hole where the move is not going to hit like it needs to. Let me know what you guys are thinking in the comments. The chat is crazy tonight. Crazy. Jake, Mike Brown's big point the other day was about details and basic stuff that they're not doing. If they're not doing basic level stuff, there has to be an issue with the message. Yeah, I just disagree with that, man. I mean, you have to go execute. You know, I always feel like in sports, the easiest thing you can do is go, hey, fire the coach. I just don't think that needs to be the case here. You have to go out there and execute. And like that Denver game, if they just execute the details, I did a video, like a 6-minute video on literally the backdoor layups that the Kings allowed. That's not a scheme thing. That's a player ball watching and staring at Jokic and not being locked in, right? That's. How do you get that out of somebody? You just wake up, wake up. See man, see ball. Like, you're taught that in elementary school, right? So, look, they're in a really, really tough spot as a team right now, and they have to figure it out quick. And that means, like, literally Saturday against the Lakers. So I don't think it's the message. The players understand that they have to get it done on their end, you know? And tonight, you look at some of the numbers. DeMar DeRozan, oh, my God. 10 points, 4 of 13 shooting, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. They were seeking him out, right? And that's the other thing. We talked about this for a long time now, is the Kings just don't have a ton of size, right? Well, that's going to be a challenge when you have DeMar DeRozan being faced with trying to defend LeBron James in the post, right? And they went to that, and they had some success there. Keegan, 10 points, 7 rebounds, couple of steals, 4 of 11 shooting, 2 of 4 from downtown. Sabonis tonight, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, 8 of 13 shooting. He's 1 of 4 at the line. He played his ass off, but, you know, AD was an absolute just menace on the boards tonight. Monk, 17 points, 7 of 15 shooting. He had 5 turnovers. 4 of those happened in the third quarter. Fox ended up with 26, not efficient, 7 of 17. He was 10 of 11 at the line, had 5 assists, 3 steals, 4 turnovers, and then the bench didn't really give you much. Herter, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 turnovers. The two guys that I thought impressed off the bench in limited minutes, when it seemed like the Kings were like, oh, okay, they're making a little bit of a push here, there's some good energy in the building, was Keon Ellis and Isaac Jones. I thought Isaac's minutes were fantastic. He came in and had 2 blocks. He stripped LeBron James. Great verticality at the rim. I really enjoyed how he played. And I thought Keon, too, what those two out there at the same time was fun to see. But, like, can you count on that consistently from Isaac Jones? Probably not. He's a two-way guy who is a rookie in the NBA. But I watch how he played tonight, and I go, I liked his minutes more than I liked Alex Len's minutes. If we're going to be talking about the rotation again, maybe you just commit to a guy for 5 games coming off your bench. Just Isaac Jones, you're the backup 5, next 5 games, let's see what it looks like. Kevin Herter, you're playing this role the next 5 games. Keon Ellis, you're playing this role the next 5 games. And then, you know, trail out, whatever. But that has failed to be consistent this year as well. And, you know, I just don't think the Kings... That's probably my biggest criticism with Mike Brown. It's just the rotation has not been figured out this late into the year. Someone saying play Jay Crowder. You could. I mean, I guess, but look, Jay Crowder's not saving your season. That's the other thing. We can talk about, oh, they should play this guy. They should play this guy. Jay Crowder, depending on a matchup, and I actually thought we might have saw him tonight. Like, he's battled LeBron in the past. How much does he have left in the tank? Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe if you're looking to mix it up, you could see, but I saw him against Denver and it wasn't pretty defensively. So I think for him, it just depends on matchups. A.A. Ron says, just not good enough consistent theme. Yeah. Jerry says, Isaac Jones needs to be let loose. Yeah, he just needs... You know, let him play 12 minutes a game. And if he messes something up, pull him aside. Everyone says he's coachable. Well, coach him up and see what he can do. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We got more to get to. I do want to mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Turtle Beach. Turtle Beach has so much gaming equipment, it's not even funny. You need to go get their latest headset that I love, the Gen 3 Stealth 700 headset at turtlebeach.com. If you use code DMPOD, you get 10% off your order. That's for a limited time. That's 10% off your order at turtlebeach.com with promo code DMPOD. Don't delay. Get the perfect gift now. Happy holidays from Turtle Beach. We're also presented today by our friends over at Mother, located at 2319 K Street. They've been a restaurant in Sacramento for almost a decade. They have delicious food. And you can order it to go on their website, mothersacramento.com. Their focus is delicious food using seasonal and local produce. That is amazing. They also have a Michelin bib. And they got a perfect 4-star review from the Sacramento Bee. Mike, Lisa, and Rob, they are Sacramentans. They've been part of the restaurant community for such a long time. And I encourage you to go there before a Kings game and get 50% off your drinks. That's at Mother, located at 2319 K Street in Sacramento. Also presented today by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We're all one with Golden One. If you scan that QR code on the screen or go to goldenone.com, you can see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. You can enjoy exclusive Kings perks like up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store, and a chance to win courtside lower bowl seat upgrades when you wave your Golden One card at select games. That includes club access, food, and beverages. That's how you win as one at Golden One. We're also presented today by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you're looking to get new windows on your house, there's no better place to be than Northwest Exteriors. Check out their showroom. You could pick out the right windows for your house. It's a game changer. You save money. It makes your house look better. Get that value up. Save money on your energy bill. And why it wants to be cold or hot during the summertime. Makes your house look better. Makes you safer. Check out northwestexteriors.com for all the details, including the promo that they have going on right now through the end of the month. They're offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer, and they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. The foundation supports veterans. That offer expires December 29th, 2024. Check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Okay. 113-100. We are at December 19th. And if you look at the standings, the Kings are in 12th. That's not good breaking news. If you want to feel a little better, just a little better, they are 2.5 out of the sixth spot. There's a lot of teams bunched up around them. The Warriors are now 14-12. They've lost 3 in a row. San Antonio's ahead of them at 14-13. Minnesota got destroyed today by the Knicks. They're 14-12. The Suns lost to the Pacers, 14-12. But you can only say that for so long, right? Like, at some point, you have to turn it on. You can't worry about what other teams are doing. You have to start winning your games. And no one's coming to save you. Like, it's not like, hey, man, when this player gets back, they can really take off. They got their guys back now. I mean, Trey Lyles could be back soon. That's a help. But, like, is that going to shift where you guys are headed? You have to lock in on the details. You have to come out punching, ready to go. And I think my frustration with this team, not just, like, this game, but throughout the year is they come out slow, or there's adversity during a game where instead of a 10-2 run they allow, it's a 21-0 run they allow. With this group that has guys who have been in the league a long time, someone's got to speak up. You know, like De'Aaron, it's got to be on you, man. I'm a big De'Aaron Fox fan. I've hyped him up a lot because I believe that he has the potential to be one of the best two-way guys in the league. But in this league, we talk about so many times. There's never been so much talent in the league. If you want to be a great player, you got to do it on a pretty consistent basis. That's just to be great. You want to be like a star superstar, it's being elite almost every night. LeBron tonight didn't have the most efficient game. I felt like he took some tough shots. There is no doubt he impacted the game today and made winning plays. Even on an off night, an off night for LeBron, where what do you end up with? 19 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 8 of 21 shooting. He still impacted the game, right? So you have to find ways, even on off nights, right? But it's also getting control of things, too. Like, you can't let these things spiral. You got a couple of sloppy turnovers early in a game. Somebody needs to be like, hey, let's get our shit together. And it doesn't have to just always come from a coach or an assistant coach, right? Like, the players need, let's go. Like, lock in. Call somebody out. Like, those are the things that matter to me. And that's where I need to see competitive fire. It can't just be like, oh, we got it, nonchalant. No, Go get it. We're changing this shit. We're at home. There's energy in this building. It's Kings Lakers. We're lock in and take care of the ball. Like, if someone needs to get hot with somebody, do that. But we're running out of time here to be like, hey, well, at least they're kind of close in the West. It doesn't matter. You got to win your games. And you got the Lakers coming up. You got the Pacers coming up. You got to win the next two. And then after that, isn't it the Pistons? You got the Pistons after that, the next three games. Then you go back to LA. Then you get your home for Dallas. Dude. If this continues to go downhill, then it's going to be really interesting to see where things go. We're not there yet. But if it keeps going downhill, the conversations are going to shift. There's going to be more talk about De'Aaron Fox and his future. And okay, do they look to shift now? Right? You gotta grab the steering wheel and take control. This team is better than how they're playing. This team is better than how they're playing, but they still need tweaks to be made. They still need wing help. They still need size. There are too many times I watched tonight where I'm like, this team is just bigger than the Kings. So if you're trying to maximize the time you have with Fox, and the last time I checked, you didn't get DeMar DeRozan to just like get into the playoffs or be a play-in team. You got because you felt like it was going to elevate you, right? Well, you're taking a step back now. How are you going to figure it out? Man. Someone in the comments make me feel better. I don't think anyone can, to be honest. I really don't think anyone can. Before we continue, let's hear what De'Aaron Fox had to say after this game.
Mike seems to hold you to a really high standard as like the guy on this team. How much do you also take on that responsibility yourself? And like looking back on these games, feel like there's more that you could have done?
Yeah, I mean, obviously like with fouls, and then I think I had 2 or 3 minute stretch where I was turning the ball over. Just have to be better in those moments. You know, those are moments that we're fighting back, getting the game to, you know, 7, back to 5, back to 4. And then I turn the ball over and it blows back up to 10. So, like I said, it's always about trying to be consistent, especially in those moments where the team needs you. Obviously, we weren't great offensively tonight. So the less amount of possessions that we're getting isn't going to help us.
Yeah. And I got to be honest, I think so many people, I don't know, maybe I'm just being jaded right now, but I also think there's people listening to anything a player says right now. It's like, okay, great. You see what the problems are. We all do. Go fix it. You know, I just maintain that they are better than how they played tonight. If they had just played slightly better, they probably win this game. And, you know, I was reading some comments from J.J. Redick after the game, and J.J. was saying that it was one of his favorite wins of the season. And I'm like, well, yeah, because you shot 40%. You won the possession game. You won ugly tonight. And coaches love winning ugly every once in a while. We were just talking about that with New Orleans, right? J.J. said this might be my favorite win we've had all year. Mentions the defensive effort and across-the-board contributions on the night the Lakers didn't shoot well. Exactly. It's the other guy stepping up, right? D'Lo comes in, 16 off the bench. Gabe Vincent, shout out to one of the great guys, Gabe Vincent, started with the Stockton Kings in the G League. He had been struggling. He has 4 or 5, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, played physical, fouled a little bit. Yeah, but he played physical. He was not allowing anything easy. Let's read some comments here. Let me see what I can read, because you guys are going at each other. Someone's saying bring back Royale. Rizzo says time is running out for this year. Yeah, I mean, it's a fragile time. You have to get control soon. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's still time to turn it around. You know, your seasons did not end today, but and, you know, Saturday's not a must win, but it's like, you gotta get that one. Pretty important. Yeah. But anyway, I think that the Kings play a little better tonight. They win the game. But I also think the Lakers, as this game went on, they really took control. And I thought their defense elevated to a really high level in that fourth quarter when they started to feel really good, man. I mean, they were playing aggressive. The rotations were great. The communication and help was there. And like I said earlier, I thought Max Christie played some really good defense tonight. He made life hard. And that's what we always talk about with opposing teams. Like the number one guy that shows up on the Lakers scouting report is De'Aaron Fox. The goal is, can we find a way to make his life more challenging tonight? And they did. I know he had 26 points. It wasn't efficient. It was 7 of 17. And he had those turnovers, like we said. They did a good job making him work, throwing different looks at him. But with all that said, they still had a chance. It's tough. It's really tough. Pedro on the chat says, Deuce and Mo, how do they improve the team? Do we need to trade key pieces? You know, the challenge right now is like, who is out there, right? You start talking about looking at teams that are maybe looking to blow things up or trading pieces. The Nets come to mind so many times. Cam Johnson. What's Cam Johnson going to cost? That's my fear. It's like, how expensive is someone like Cam Johnson's going to be when he is having a really strong year? And for the Nets, it's like, of course, all their guys, they were supposed to be bad. And like, their guys are having good years, and now they could shop them. They shipped off Dennis Schroeder, right? So Cam Johnson's going to be expensive. Does Cam Johnson make Sacramento better? Yeah, depending on what the Kings give up. Yeah, of course. Like, another guy that could shoot has size? Yeah, for sure. But what's the cost? What are you giving up? Are you giving up multiple firsts? Sorry, I'm a little scared to give up firsts. I don't know where the situation's headed, especially for a player like Cam Johnson. The Pelicans are another team to watch. What are the Pelicans doing? Brandon Ingram's not the answer here, especially with this group, in my opinion. One name that's been thrown out in our Discord that is crazy to even talk about. Crazy in some ways. Zion Williamson. Would you get crazy and go, you know what? This is the swing we're taking. He's young. Get him in our building. Maybe he can get in shape. That's a crazy-ass swing, right? What are the Pelicans trying to do? If I'm the Pelicans, I'm not giving up Trey Murphy or Herb Jones. Like, I'm keeping those guys. I'm shopping B.I., C.J., right, and Zion. But for the Kings to really... So, anyway, to answer your question, what big names are out there that you take a swing on? If you're trying to really get better, I just don't know what other names are out there, right? If you're trying to get, like, a big name, you're not going to get anything if it's, you know, Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles. You're going to have to give up something that maybe makes you uncomfortable. And I mentioned this weeks back when we seemingly had this same podcast, right? When you go back to the Kings with Jeff Petrie in the early 2000s, some fans listening to this go, what are you talking about? When the Kings were good at one time, believe it or not, in the early 2000s, they made some tough trades. They traded Jason Williams for Mike Bibby. That elevated them. They trade Corliss Williamson, who turned out to be a sixth man of the year. They trade him for Doug Christie. Those are risky moves, right? Even if you go back to them trading Mitch Richmond, who was like a stable, vet, all-star level player, they trade him for Chris Webber, who didn't want to come here, didn't report, was on his second NBA team as a young player, like 23 years old. Sometimes you have to give up something that, or take a risk that makes you go, but you also don't want to just like make a trade where it's not going to elevate you far enough. And then all of a sudden you hamstring your franchise for years to come. It's clear to me the Kings need something. It's been clear before today. Dorian Finney-Smith is a name I've mentioned a lot. I'm thinking about a player that you don't need to go score 20 points a game. You just need a guy that's going to be a dog, play some defense, give you some more size. Do you take another risk and go, hey, Kyle Kuzma's having an awful year, but I don't know, get him here, see what he can do? Like, the names I'm bringing up aren't like the sexiest names either, right? So we haven't heard of any like superstar player. I don't think that is out there, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. So that's why the Kings have to get it together fast, because you want to move that, like, all right, we've won 5 of 6 now. We're back above 500. Now we need to make a move that will elevate us and really get us going. But if you're kind of hovering in this situation, or if it gets worse, then you may be talking about, okay, are we selling off some pieces? Do we need to be thinking more future than the present? Yeah, it's fascinating. It's all fascinating. David says, so you're saying trade Fox? No, I want Fox to stay. I mean, that's to me the ultimate goal. But you also have to be rational with like the thinking of like, okay, if this continued to slide, the conversation's going to shift. If it goes up, okay, we're building something here. We take this here, put this here. All of a sudden, we're going in the right direction. So Omar says it's time to move off Keegan. Here's my thing. Okay, in what deal? What deal are you giving up Keegan that's going to make you better? Like I heard someone mention, hey, trade Keegan, Lyles, and Herter for Jeremy Grant. That was on D'Lo and Casey. I think it was, it was Trista. And I'm going, I'm sorry, what? What? I am trying to add someone to this roster that can help Keegan Murray out. So Keegan's not playing 40 minutes tonight. So he doesn't have to guard every single wing out there. Talented, like, hey, let's go. He's the wing on the team. Keegan is trash, Deuce. This is the point of the chat that is super fun. He's not trash. I mean, if you see one side of the ball, sure. But I think if you watch what he did defensively tonight, he did a lot of nice things defensively. I mean, I personally wish I'd see aggressiveness offensively all the time. He's playing banged up right now. I get it. But even before that, there's been too many stretches where like, man, you just went like a 5-game stretch of being really aggressive and now you're not. You know, before tonight, he started knocking down threes at like a 38% clip over the last 6 games. He was 2 of 4 tonight. That's the encouraging sign. I want him to attack the basket with fours. We talked about that 800 times, but I mean, he's not trash. He's a really good defensive player. His rebounding's gotten a lot better. Tonight, there were times he was defending LeBron. He was switched on to AD, switched on to Austin Reeves. He's a real asset, but you're asking him to do a lot. Furious Wolf says Keegan was Mr. Three. Yeah, the three's trending up for him right now, which is really encouraging. You know, his first year, he was literally a catch and shoot three guy who didn't really play defense, but he knocked down his threes. And then, you know, to start this season, he was so inconsistent, not making anything. Get Robert Williams III. Yeah, I mean, Robert Williams III is interesting. I mean, I think he makes like $13 million this year and maybe next year. Always seemingly hurt, but. Yeah, I mean, you talk about a rim protector that, you know, you could play 13, 14 minutes a night. Is that the move that takes you to another point? I don't know about that. Oof, Deuce, would you trade Monk if you got Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith? Well, I mean, I don't financially, that doesn't add up. But no, it's really hard for me to want to move Malik Monk. I think his contract is really strong. I think he's shown a lot of good things. I mean, when the Kings got back in this game tonight in the third quarter, was it the third quarter? Sorry, let me go back in my notes. No, second quarter, when they made that push. It's because of the two-man game with Monk and Sabonis and Monk controlling things and sent people up. And so I think it's something the Kings should do a lot more of, you know. Bobby Portis, Manny Too Legit ass. I like Bobby Portis. He had some toughness, can knock down shots, but I think from Milwaukee's perspective now, they've turned things around. They're playing some pretty good basketball. They had a really good win against Oklahoma City the other night, too. I'm not saying he's untouchable, but I don't know. I think the other thing, too, is I just look at where other teams are at, right? And like, would Bobby Portis help from a size perspective? Yes, yes. But this league, I think, at the wing spot, you need athleticism, you need pop, you need length, you know? There's so many teams around the league that have all that, and the Kings lack that at this point. Man, it's tough. It was a tough one tonight. If you guys have, I'll take a few more questions or comments, and then I'm going to wrap this up because we're back at it on Saturday after Kings Lakers. Jamar says, what's your thoughts on uncomfortable topic of potentially trading Keon? Would you move Keon if the deal is absolutely perfect? Yeah, I mean, the thing with that is Keon just doesn't make a lot of money, right? So I feel like Keon would be in a deal to sweeten it. You know, Keon is on a really affordable contract. Let me just look it up to double check, but I think he's making like $3 million a year. Let's see here. Keon Ellis. I'm sorry. He's making 2.1 this year. I was off. And then next year, there's a team option at 2.3. It's a great deal. But, you know, and I'm a big Keon Ellis fan too. I like what he does. You have to balance a roster at some point, though, right? If you love Devin Carter and you think he's an impact player, all right, where does he play? Where does he fit on this team? Where is Devin Carter going to get minutes? There's only so many minutes that can go around, and you have a lot of guys that are 6'3 to 6'5 on this team, right? So. Val Venus.
Hello, ladies.
In the chat says, when someone big, if you get someone big to help Keegan guard, will his shot come back? Again, like I just said, I mean, I think his shot's starting to come back. Let's see. He was 2 of 4 from downtown tonight. So I think he's shown over this month, he's starting to knock down the three again, which is really encouraging. And I think some of that is a product of having Monk in the starting lineup, creating. That's been really good. And he's getting some great looks. Team is short. Yeah, the team is very undersized. B-Stone says, I honestly believe that if our roster had trustworthy depth, it would be the difference maker. Yeah. It's a challenge when you don't get bench production. The margin for error is so slim. It's so slim. And that's where we spend so much time talking about, man, this guy has to be great at this, or this guy needs to do this, or the Kings defense needs to lock into this. They can't allow back doors. Yes, and Mike Brown as a coach is dealing with the pieces he has here, right? But all of us watching are going, okay, but are there things on the outside that you could put here that could help put this in a better direction? So, yeah. All right, final thoughts then. 3 p.m. start times, I feel like, have not been friendly to Sacramento in the past, but this is a big one coming up on Saturday. Tonight was a big one. You let one go. This is the time you got to get your shit together, like now. If it doesn't start going trending up soon, it becomes very problematic. Season's not over yet. This team's talented enough. They've got the pieces to be better than this. Even if they have flaws, they've got the pieces to be better than this. Lock in. Let's go. I'm here for it. I'm going to be here live after the game. I'm going to be watching every single game. It may pain me, but you know what? We've been through a lot of tough times as Kings fans. How many winning seasons? 40th year in Sacramento. 10 winning seasons? Yeah. We've seen some bad stuff. Let's lock in together. And I promise you that win or lose, we'll try our best to have fun on the pod and figure it all out. Man. Appreciate you guys, all you basketball sickos, for rocking with us. We love you guys. But I gots to go. You guys have an amazing night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.